Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today, we are walking to Alex Garland's latest movie. He's written and directed a movie called Civil War. For those of you who don't know, but you probably do, Alex Garland, most famous as a writer, The Beach. I was about to say Beaches, but no. He is not the wind beneath anyone's wings. The Beach, 28 Days Later, first directorial debut was Ex Machina,
which is a film we love.
We love it.
He most recently made the TV show Devs, which we also loved.
Yes, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Great sci-fi.
And also the other sci-fi which he wrote and directed called Annie Hilton, according to Kathy, which you can scroll back.
We reviewed that a long time ago. I can't say it's like Ex Machina is something that's always stuck with me, The Beach. Devs I've often thought about since we watched. Annihilation was kind of...
We had mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting. Uh-huh. I think Alex Garland is a very interesting voice in cinema.
Yeah.
And I welcome him and I'm glad he's out here doing interesting things.
Yeah.
And this looks also interesting. It looks like a bit of a left turn for him. Now, we didn't see Men, we should say, his most recent film. Been meaning to see it, but haven't seen it yet. But this is not... This apparently does not appear to be any sort of sci-fi twist. I think it's set in a sort of... A near, very close to home, alternate vision of the United States of America that is in civil unrest. They're in the middle of a civil war. That's all I kind of know from the trailer. But I mean, I'll be honest, I have personally a lot of ongoing anxiety about the polarized state of the US, the UK, Ireland. We're wrapped up in it as well. About war in the Middle East. I think the world feels very uncertain. There's a major election happening in the US, which the outcome of which will influence, will have far-reaching influence right down to us here in Ireland. So, I feel the timing of this is perhaps poor or very prescient.
It's hard.
But it's making me sick to the stomach.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit stressed about watching it as well. And I haven't seen the trailer unlike you, albeit I understand the vibe of the film.
I love when you say things like this because you have seen the trailer. Because you sat next to me in Dune Part 2 when it played, so you somehow have, you're able to switch off your brain.
I don't watch them when they come on. I just look away and like don't pay attention because I don't want to, like, if it's an Alex Garland film I'll go and see it, like, I don't need to watch
it. So you were consciously switching off for it, right? Okay.
What I saw looked unpleasant,
to say the least. So here we are.
Here we go. We're going to see it in an early screening because we figured it might be a heavy watch and not one before bed. So we'll let you know how that strategy works for us.
Yes, 1:30 on a Sunday. Feels like a real Sunday matinee, pleasant viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Civil War. So here we go. We'll chat to you on the other side.
Hi.
Hi.
Citizens of America, the so-called Western forces of Texas and California have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if...
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
Hello, we're back.
Hello.
We have seen Alex Garland's Civil War. Now, normally on this podcast, if it's your first time here, we should say, firstly, we don't spoil the movie. Until we do, we will alert you when we're turning onto Spoiler Street. So this is, you know, yes, safe zone here. This is the green zone. But also, normally on this podcast, we record our instant reactions when we come out of the movie. We don't talk to each other. We save it for the streets, and we flick the recorder on, and then we share each other's instant reactions to the movie. We did not do that on this movie because we both came out a little shook.
Yeah, I just said to Dave, do you know what? Can we just wait a while? We'll talk about it later. I don't want to talk about it now. So we've taken a pause. And we're here now.
It's Monday now.
What? Dave, what are your top line thoughts? Without spoilers.
Well, okay, so I said before we went in, I was very trepidatious. I didn't really want to experience this movie, but I felt like Alex Garland demanded my attention and deserved my attention. So I turned out. Plus, this movie seems to, judging by Cork standards, needs all the help it can get because it's Sunday 1:30. Maybe it's just the timing.
I mean, our cinema,
there were two other
it.
People in the whole cinema.
The only time our cinema has people in it, if it's Barbie or if it's a kids movie.
Yeah, all other times, deserted. But I gotta say, all right, so my feelings, I wasn't as low coming out as you are. If anything, I felt, during the movie, I felt very engaged by it, but it wasn't inducing in me the sense of real world present day anxiety and dread, which I am living in minute to minute and trying to suppress so I can live my life, which is the state of my personal reality. I didn't feel that while in this movie. So the objective of the movie, I think, is it deliberately places this in an America which we kind of don't recognize.
Yeah.
It is both familiar and not familiar.
And I thought it was going to be like a far right, like, I thought it was going to be like very much mirroring like the insurrection stuff. And it actually, albeit I'm sure that informed it, it wasn't about those politics. And I think you're right, that helps because it's separate from reality.
Exactly. So I felt like I was able to have a detached sense of, I felt outside looking in on this, which helped me sort of. Now, it's still, I think, a very harrowing and tough watch. But I think just by the mere fact of it presenting an alternate reality, broadly speaking, we'll give you that the plot is Nick Offerman is the president. And
half the cast of devs are
a lot
in
of
this.
The cast of devs, and Texas and California have seceded from the rest of the United States and calling themselves the Western Forces. They have a flag with two stars on it, and there's also mention of Florida doing its own thing as well. So there's three forces at play here. Now, I think this is a very deliberate choice to choose Texas and California because it puts you in a state of how are these two states, which are currently in our reality very ideologically opposed, how come they've united against the rest of the United States, which I think is deliberate. It sets the tone where you said, you know, you go into this movie expecting it's going to take a position, a political position, but it doesn't. It is, and I've read, because we've had a day now, I've read some interviews with Alex Garland, and that was his intention. His intention is, and I appreciate this perspective and relate to it, is that we are living in a completely polarized world where everyone, both sides are just shouting at each other and nobody's listening, and what needs to happen is conversation in the middle. And that's where he's trying to place himself. So that's one thing in terms of the politics of the movie that I respected, and it allowed me to engage in the movie. The other thing is, this movie is a movie about journalism, which I didn't know going in.
I didn't know, and I think it's actually why it was so upsetting. I didn't realize that it was going to be about journalists, particularly photojournalists. And obviously we know that more journalists have been killed in Gaza in the last 6 months than in like years and years and years of previous conflicts. And obviously none of that will have happened when he was filming this, but I think it added that layer of the American stuff felt unreal, but the journalist stuff felt very real.
Yeah.
And it was that made it a very stressful watch, I think. And I think a lot of people will feel that.
I agree. And they are the protagonists of this movie. It's from their perspective. Alex Garland's father was a cartoonist and for a broadsheet and worked closely with journalists. And he says that's the world he grew up in, and he has a respect for it. And also he sees that as being in danger. And again, that's something I personally align to closely. I studied journalism. I have such a deep respect for journalism as a foundation. It's a foundation, a pillar stone of any free democracy. And it is under threat, particularly in the United States, Russia, many countries.
Gaza.
Gaza. Journalism is being vilified. It's the people's trust in it being eroded. And I really admired it being a film where it kind of made them the center focus point and the heroes. And the other thing it does is, back to the political thing, is it makes it clear that these journalists are just there to look at, for the truth. That's mm-hmm. their role, or they just present. They're not interested in, they're not journalists with an agenda or a bias like a lot of modern journalism has. This is old school, just news journalism, mm-hmm. news and photography journalism. And I personally related to that, and I found the movie very affecting. I was quite moved by it. I thought it was excellent. I'm seeing a lot of people saying it was completely criticizing it for being devoid of politics or emotion. I don't agree with that. I mean, it's not particularly emotional as such, but I personally was very moved by it, mm-hmm. And found it very relevant to today's world. I thought it was excellent. So that's where I am, even 24 hours out and reflecting mm-hmm. on it. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's brilliant. I think it's the combination. The film kind of, because it's apolitical in that sense, for a lot of it I was kind of confused, and I kept being like, have I missed something? What's going on with the politics? What's the story with the president? And then I guess as it went on, I realized I wasn't supposed to know that stuff, and I actually think that added to my stress in watching the film. And I'd say that was probably deliberate as well, to like throw you, because if you were in a war scenario, I'm guessing, like, this somebody in this movie says at one point, well, that's just somebody trying to kill me, so I'm just going to try and kill them.
Yes.
And it really almost can strip your politics away from you, I would imagine, in that situation. And then there's like the really frenetic like sound and gunfire and use of all that in the film is very stressful. And then I think conflated with the fact that we're seeing all these images from Gaza all the time, watching it in that context, I found it incredibly stressful and very emotional and very upsetting. I think Kirsten Dunst is incredible. I love to see her. I haven't seen her in a long time, actually, in anything. I think she's fantastic in this, and she
totally
steals the whole. She's like the pillar in which the movie's built, albeit everyone in the film's absolutely brilliant. She's incredible. And I don't want to talk too much about it before we go to spoilers, but I think the lack of I think I understand the criticism about how apolitical it is, but I also think that's good that he did that.
That was his objective.
I was expecting, yeah. I presume this was inspired, or a lot of it was around the insurrection in America, but
he actually says he wrote it before that happened.
Right, interesting.
But I mean, but
it all fed in.
He's pointing out the polarization of modern society, Western society. So yeah, that's a result
like
of that.
Even when you, and I think he chose to do it in an interesting way as well, because I feel like otherwise we'd be watching it stereotyping people. But honestly, watching it, all the different factions, I couldn't tell anyone apart. They all seem to kind of act the same.
Right, yeah.
There's loads to talk about, but I don't want to go to spoilers. But I do say that I think if someone's watching it, they should just go in mindful of yourself, that like it is actually very intense and like designed to be so, because you're following characters who are like in war. So I would definitely give like a warning of like, mind yourself before you go into it. And I think the age was 16 here, and I certainly wouldn't recommend it for anyone. To be honest, maybe someone under the age of 16, unless they've been in a war situation, might be less traumatized by it than an adult who's more informed, because he might just be like, oh, gunshots.
I thought 15A is in.
It's not fun violence. You know, we just reviewed Monkey Man last week, where a lot of the violence was fun. This is not. This is horrible.
Yeah.
And it's very traumatic. So honestly, I was the one who was like yesterday, oh, do you know what? I can't record the podcast now. I need a break. I don't want to talk about it. So it was very affecting, I think. And I really admire Alex Garland. And I think we should go to spoiler street now.
But I actually, just to pick up on your point, I think that's really important in an effective war movie, to make the violence unpleasant and to make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That's so important, particularly in a movie called Civil War, where if you had the Monkey Man sort of over the top violence,
it could make it look fun.
Exactly, you risk it being sort of glorified, particularly in a climate where there are people in the United States who would welcome a civil war mm-hmm. currently. So you definitely, I think that would be irresponsible to present this in any attractive light, which the movie does not.
I mean, there was a president who borderline refused to leave the White House like in recent years.
Yes.
So I think it's very close to the bone. Now we will go to spoilers, and you might hear a quick break before we come back.
Okay, so full spoilers now for the movie Civil War. Why don't we just sort of briefly talk about the characters mm-hmm. for a second? So we get four main characters in this. We get Lee, played by Kirsten Dunst. We get Joel, played by Wagner.
Love him.
Who's great. Yeah, we just saw him in Mr. and Mrs.
He's
Smith.
So good.
Highly recommend.
He's got a great... He's perfect casting for this.
And you've got Kaylee Spaney playing the young Jessie, who we thought was supposed to be like 16. But I think there's a reference to her being 23 at one point, which I kind of only half heard.
I thought that was the character lying. And she's really young. I kept thinking of this as like an Almost Famous. Like it's a road trip, right?
Yeah.
But I had so many vibes of Almost Famous for me, of that like very, very, very young journalist on the road with the band. I thought she was going to turn out to be 16 or something. But then that wasn't the plot. It never went there.
Oh my God.
She just looks so young, the actress.
You're so right. It's very Almost Famous. I hadn't put that together. The things I was thinking of in this were The Last of Us, where she would have made a great Ellie.
Yeah.
And even
great.
And the other guy is called Joel, the character. Yeah. So I don't know, was that deliberate? But the other thing, it reminded me of Children of Men, with this very near distant sort of future that is on the brink of collapse, and you're very centered on this road trip and these sort of horrible scenes that occur on that road trip.
I think the idea to set it as a road trip movie was so clever, because it really propels it, and it propels it along a load of unique scenes. So like, to the character point, we get to see them in like horrifically stressful situations, we get to see them in some like lighter situations, we get to see And I think to fast forward to growth and like relationships and bonding in any movie actually is a road trip. Because in reality, if you spend 4 days in a car with someone, you'd bond with them a lot, right? It's completely different than normal life.
Exactly. And it gives you this sense of momentum in a story.
And there's also that like master and student vibe that I love in anything. So there's a lot about like one generation handing over their knowledge to another generation and someone honing their craft. So there's loads in there for the characters, like, never mind this backdrop. And I think that surprised me. I wasn't expecting... I thought we'd be like... Because having not deliberately not looked at the trailer and stuff, I had presumed we'd be following, like, maybe protagonists from each side of a civil war. And I think
instead, to follow the
journalists who are really, like, not biased, you know? They seem to have no opinion on the... They're just like, we want to get the best picture.
Their objective is just the story and telling the story.
I mean, and they're reckless with their own personal safety, because they're like the kind of journalists who'll do anything to get the best picture. And they're the ones you need to follow to make a movie interesting, because they were in the action, you know.
Yeah, they'll do anything to get that picture. They'll also jump in and out of moving cars for no reason.
Yeah.
Just incredibly pointless, reckless behaviour.
There's a couple of like... And then there's the fourth character, who's the old man, who's also in debt.
Yeah, Stephen McKinley Henderson is
his
name. He's
brilliant.
He's fantastic.
I think as a troupe, they were really well-rounded.
I felt for them. I mean, they're a little... I would say he draws on a lot of sort of tropes. You know, the mentor... There's two mentors in this. There's, you know, there's the old guy is Lee's mentor, and then she's being a mentor to the... And then you've got the sort of cool, more relaxed sort of action, you know, smuggling. Like, I felt like there was a few tropes being leaned on in that car, but the actors were also good. I thought they
Oh, they made it work. And it's also
it
like...
It works, yeah.
She's kind of getting... She kind of got mentors from three different people, because, like, the guy, the cool guy, Joel... He's like, yeah, I've got a hard-on for this. Like, he's really out there, and he gets such an adrenaline hit from it all. Then you've got Kirsten Dunst, who's like, just like, you need to get the best picture, you need to get the best picture, that's all I care about. And then you've got the old man who's, like, seen it all, and he's like, take your rest where you can get it.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, that girl's training is, like, the best training anyone will ever get, like, in photojournalism, from these three people. I know the other two are more, like, kind of written journalists. But yeah, the characters are so good. And then I think there's basically, as we said, there's lots of different moments throughout. But like, the ones that strike me are...
The Jesse Plemons scene.
It's
an all-timer.
And you kind of also
so
think, God, he's married to Kirsten Dunst, so it's cool to see them on screen together. He's so scary. And that stuff before, he's like...
He's almost like, typecast in this sort of sociopathic role.
Are you American? And we're, as the audience, because I didn't understand the politics... And we're not supposed to. I was like, I don't know what he means by, are you American?
Yeah.
And then when the guy says, I'm from China, and he just shoots him.
Yeah.
It's horrifying, because he's not even cartoonishly villainous. He just shoots him. You know, he's not like...
It's so matter of fact.
And he's like burying bodies, and like, it's just all... It was such a... Like, I'd like to say I'd watch the scene again sometime, because it was so good, but I just don't think I could bring myself to watch it again. But all of them were incredible. And then the old man, they're like, you have to stay behind, you can't run, you're not fast enough. And they've been kind of disparaging him.
but you can drive a car
and then he
into a guy.
Them, and
well, I gotta say, that kind of frustrated me a little bit, took me out of it, because I was like, how did nobody hear that car coming? And also,
I mean, they're
the
in
car,
quite an intense situation.
The car driving in to save the day is another trope, which I think Alex Garland is better than.
But, I don't, and I think, like,
but it's fine. It's
I mean,
fine.
That scene of, like, the mass grave and the girl falling onto it.
Oh, that stuff's incredible.
Horrific.
Plus, I gotta say, to give some points to Alex Garland as a director, because I think a lot has been made in the press lately of him not wanting to do that anymore.
I think he's a great director.
I think he's done a great job here.
So tense.
I think there's a lot of imagery in here, which I found very moving. There's just the visuals of these empty urban cities. They're like a JCPenney's with a helicopter in it.
Yeah.
Again, very Last of Us. But the thing that stood out to me was there's some beautiful music choices and needle drops in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the one where the old man is, Sammy, is dying in the back of the car and they're driving through this burning forest. And there's kind of the beauty of all these embers floating around.
Oh my God,
around.
That looked incredible. That was kind of
and also
vibes.
The destruction of it. Yes, I think
that was the shocking moment for us, because as horrific as it was when the other two characters were shot in that scene, they weren't our protagonists. So we're somewhat removed from it.
Yeah.
And in fact, and I wonder if he did this deliberately, he kind of introduced them to us as like kind of annoying characters. But then when the old man's like, I can't drive anymore, I've been shot. And then it kind of, they're driving as he's dying. Like, it's so intense. And then when they arrive at this base, and then Joel, the way they did the montage, and Joel's just silently screaming, we can't hear him.
Great use of silence in this
so
movie.
So good. And
a lot of good uses of silence.
Everyone's walking around him, like, not even paying attention to him, because everyone's so traumatized. And Kirsten Dunst, like, we always see her resolve, like, she never really acts emotionally towards anything. We saw one moment very early on where she's in the bath and she's trying to close her eyes and she's like remembering stuff she's seen. But then she, at the very climax when they're at the White House, just like has a full-blown panic attack. Because it has, like, that has to come out. Like, you can't be in situations like that.
Yeah.
Particularly in this instance where it's like her mentor has been killed.
Such incredibly.
She was nearly killed.
And just the scene of her, like, mopping up his blood in the back of the car.
Oh, my God.
Like, she's
so steely. And, like, that. I just admire anybody who's in that career, because, like, people get burnt out in, like, normal office jobs. You know what I mean?
I know. What's that going to do to you?
Like, how can you.
The thing,
and you witness such horror, and it's like with the, you know, the all the like incredible journalists in Gaza and the work they've been doing. You're every day you're going to work at the risk of death, you know,
and
you're putting yourself out there to capture images for the world to see. And she says, you know, when I used to send images home from abroad,
that's the bit that got me. I was just about to say it.
She said, like, I sent it so that it wouldn't happen here.
It's a warning,
and it's like the echoes of all the journalists in Gaza who are like, we're sending. Everyone knows what's happening and no one's stopping it.
Yeah.
And I think that's just really layered in when you're watching this film.
And that's what this, you're watching a character deal with the futility or the realization that everything she had done has kind of been for nothing. And
so dark.
And I feel like that line really stood out to me as well. And that feels like what this movie is attempting to do, what Alex Garland is attempting to do. He's sending these images to us. From an imagined place, saying, "Look, this is what can happen. This is a warning."
And
right?
I think making it apolitical makes it more palatable for people to watch.
I think so. I'd rather have as many people as possible from both sides experience this.
Even you say both sides, you mean like from every side? We're just so
from
used
every,
to
sorry,
reducing
yes,
everything.
I know.
Everything's
yeah.
so binary these days. I think early on in the film, when the young girl says to. Sorry, I can't remember any character's name. Kirsten Dunst.
Lee.
She says, "Would you shoot me? As in, would you photograph me when I'm dying?" And Lee goes, "What do you think?" And then I knew it was going to happen.
That was
later.
A bit
it had
on
to
the
happen.
Nose. That was a bit.
I know,
bit
but
too
I,
much for
I
me,
didn't think so, though.
It was
I
fine.
Actually thought it was a very neat way to wrap it up, and also
neat is right.
I think,
but yeah,
but it, she's a war journalist, like a photographer in that kind of situation. What are the chances of her having survived all those? It, like the fact that they're in the White House, we both said it was a bit unrealistic that they got into the White House. But like that bit at the very end when like he says to Nick,
what
Offerman,
was unrealistic that the journalists went in first, and
I know, yeah.
none of the military people thought,
oh, maybe they're not in that
car.
Oh
no, they're definitely in that car. Let's send the entire forces to that car, and we don't need to go into the White House. That drove me nuts.
I think it was very interesting though when he says to Nick Offerman right before he dies, like, give me a quote, and Nick Offerman just goes, don't let them kill me. And it was like earlier
That'll
on, the
do.
Old sage mentor had been like, you know, when you get to the bottom of it, these leaders never really have anything to say.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fascinating because it's like so many people go to war and they don't even know what they want.
The other thing that bothered me was like why isn't he, like, what journalist? I know he's a writer, but you'd have a dictaphone. You'd record it on your phone.
Well,
like,
what, I don't think...
He never did any... And also, I love movies about journalists, but a thing I really love is when you get into the nitty-gritty of the journalism.
No, this film was all about photojournalism, though.
Yeah,
it wasn't about
I know,
journalism.
But it just drove me a bit nuts that you had these two writers in the car and they were never doing any writing or, you know,
well,
sending
filing
anything.
Copy filing in the evenings when they went to the hotels. I kind of like how they removed mobile phones from the film as well, because they said...
Well, they said they were offline.
They have phones, but, like, there's no internet to use them on. Anyway, we could talk about it all day, but we're not gonna. We both think it's a great movie. It's very intense. I'm glad I watched it. Would I ever watch it again? Absolutely not.
No, but I think, and I think, look, people criticizing it for coming out at this time, I think this is exactly the time we should
so
be
too.
Asking these
yeah,
kind of questions.
I think exactly the time. What's the point in holding off on it? You know, hold a mirror up to the world we're living in now. That's what any good movie should do.
Exactly.
Right.
So
thank you.
We're home now.
Sorry, we've depressed you.
Well, the world is a little depressing, and sometimes you can't shy away from that.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're in our house. We're getting off. So come over. Let us know what you thought about the movie. We're thecinemile@gmail.com. We're on Instagram. We're on Patreon. We're on YouTube, and we're on TikTok.
And Letterboxd. So yeah, at the Cinemile. So send us what you think, or go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/thecinemile, if you want to something a little more lighthearted. But also dystopian. We just did RoboCop, so go listen to our.
And we've also just reviewed another road trip movie, Crossroads.
Yes, Crossroads. This movie is the crossroads of war movies. Don't
exactly,
you think?
Absolutely. I think that's how it should be defined. Bye.
I was about to sing the song. I'm not going to do it. Bye.